In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you still on our pilgrimage in Italy, the Eucharistic Miracles of Italy pilgrimage, and we're having an amazing time. I tell you, this Jubilee Year of Hope, it's given me personally so much hope to see, you know, in the midst of all the craziness, all the animosity, the hatred, the violence, the division within with our country, United States, and around the world as well, you know, that to have us come together as one family in Christ, as Catholics who was being given the great gift by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of his body, blood, soul, divinity, and to see the manifestations of that reality in these Eucharistic miracles has been truly awe-inspiring. You know, and I tell you, just personally for me, this is something that I needed, you know, because just like everybody else, I get frustrated, and, you know, I don't watch the news or television, but still, you know, the heaviness of just being around other people who are just negative, and, you know, who really don't have who put their faith in the culture and in what's going on around them instead of in God. So it's not like, you know, I don't care about what's going on and things like that, but I'm not going to dwell on it. You know, ultimately, God is in charge. God is in control. God is, ruling over all. And so, you know, I live my life and I focus on those things that that I can change, those things that I can influence, which is using the gifts that God has given me to be a vehicle of mercy, to be a messenger of love and truth, you know, not watering down our faith, but presenting, as St. Paul says in Ephesians 4:15, presenting the truth in love, but it must be the truth. Because John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the truth sets us free to become the person who God created us to be. And so this Eucharistic Miracles pilgrimage for me has been very invigorating, and is, again, as I get ready to prepare for Advent and the Advent missions, parish missions and conferences and things like that, this is a kind of spiritual boost that I needed to get me through the rest of the year. So I'm incredibly grateful for that. Well, it's Wednesday, my friends. That means it's Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. And a very special Word of God Wednesday, because this year, this Sunday is All Souls Day. So we know that every year, November 1st is All Saints, the Solemnity of All Saints. And then the next day is All Souls Day. We commemorate the dead, those in purgatory, and pray for their souls. But this year, November 1st is on a Saturday, and November 2nd, All Souls Day, is on a Sunday. And so we received a few weeks ago a letter. All the priests and deacons received a letter saying that because November 1st is on Saturday, All Saints, which is usually a holy day of obligation, is not a holy day of obligation this year, and that the commemoration of All Souls will be the masses for Sunday. All right, so I'm not sure what it's like in your diocese, but that's what was handed on to us in Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. So it's interesting. So All Souls, and that's what we're talking about today, All Souls Day, the commemoration of All Souls, and this, in a particular way, I remember my parents who are deceased, and I pray for them. I pray for them every night. I pray for the repose of their souls every night. But in a particular way, I pray for them on All Souls Day. And all my friends, loved ones, people who have been such a big influence in my life who have gone on, you know, I remember them in a very special way. I pray for them every night as part of Vespers when I kind of do the prayers, you know, my version of Prayers of the Faithful. I remember all of my friends and loved ones, from my parents to my best friend, who died 20 years ago of cancer, you know, sadly and tragically, all the way up to most recently, you know, Father Brian Milady, of course, who is my good friend, my colleague at EWTN, my spiritual director, you know. This is the time to remember all of those who, as the priest says in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, who have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith, you know. And we pray that that one day, you know, God willing, if they are with the Lord in heaven, that we will join them, so we can, you know, be in the presence of the eternal glory, the beatific vision forever, you know. So that great and holy day we'll spend eternity with God, you know, that's something to look forward to. So All Souls Day today on Beacon of Truth. Grab your Bibles or break open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday, All Souls Day. And of course, we'd love for you to join us. Just send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. And, you know, I pray for a bunch of people every day, of course. And the people I pray for the most are the people that help bring you this show every day. I'm talking about Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who handles social media. Our call screener, Matt Gabinski, and of course, our producer, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm good, man. I love All Souls because for some reason, and I'm just going to say it's God bringing it to my mind more this year, but I've really been getting into the legacy of my great-grandparents because they were so rooted in their faith. I mean, my granny was probably the most praying woman that I had ever met in my life outside of my own mom. And I love when we get into the legacy of either our own families or realize the legacy that we're building because we didn't have that growing up.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, because you didn't grow up necessarily in the church in the beginning, right?
Well, I mean, I did, but again, I was that rebel kid, right? Like I was wanting to, you know, as a musician, right? You want, you know, you're playing in bars and living the rock and roll lifestyle and not always making the right choices, but always feeling that, is this where I'm supposed to be? Is this where I'm supposed to be? And I just always remember my great-grandparents are like, we're praying for you and you make sure you give everything to God. Like I remember that just always resonated even when I knew I was making bad choices, right? So to be in a place where I'm at with my faith and my family and all of that, like it's very important to like see my kiddos picking up and learning from my mistakes and, you know, being able to pass that on to them. Because again, the thing I love about All Souls is really understanding what had the prayers, if nothing else, even the people that we didn't even necessarily know really well, but people who prayed for us because we were on their radar, like God put us in their line of sight or on their hearts. And there were prayers before we ever came into faith or before we were ever born, you know, just in knowing that those prayers were always around me, I know is a big part of why I am where I'm at. I am.
Yeah, that's true. And prayers are powerful. You know, we talked about before how a lot of people in the culture who don't have any foundation in faith will say, well, prayer is a waste of time because it doesn't produce anything. Mm. You know, as if the only things that matter are things that we do in life that produce tangible results.
Right.
You know, see, taste, touch, measure, quantify something, and that, because that makes it real, because you're able to, you know, it's tactile. You're able to see a result. And prayer is one of those things when you enter into that heart space of God and God has entered into your heart, that the results are not always tangible. There's not always something you can see right away.
Yeah.
But prayer is powerful. And we remember those. Like I said, I pray for the repose of the soul of my parents. You know, so why? And some people may say, why pray for them? Because they're dead. Yeah. But hopefully, you know, they are where we hope to be one day. Right. You know, because this world that we're in is not the end. Mm. You know, and so prayer is a way of connecting us with those who have gone on, to remember them, to pray for them, like if they're in purgatory, to pray for the repose of their pray for their souls, and also to pray for a good way to pray for each other, not just those who are sick or hurting, but but to pray for each and every person who could benefit from our prayers and our witness and our example, because you never know how God, because maybe nobody else is even praying for them,
right?
Especially Jesus says, "Love your enemies and pray for them." Ooh, boy, that's hard. But today is a day I think we can remember and put Jesus' words into action.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, love that. I love that. Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth, a special Word of God Wednesday because it's All Souls Day that we're commemorating this Sunday. So the readings are going to draw us in, as we begin kind of preparation for Advent and the coming of the Lord. Of course, we'd love for you to be part of the program today. Just send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com. Yeah.
Lay that thumb down.
Yeah. Woo. Oh, yeah. That is awesome.
That's one of those, when you hear it and you're like, ooh, turn that up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, that is awesome.
Subtle, simple.
I mean, hearing bass fills.
Yeah.
Not in my mind, though. In those spaces in there, Woo! It's like when it comes back to the head like that, it just builds, Like now there's a keyboard in there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love filling in. When I'm playing, I kind of take the Paul McCartney approach, which is actually the James Jameson approach. Play the riff, the fills during the verse, and then lay back straight chords on the chorus.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Because then it gives you room to breathe, and then you're just keeping it simple and catchy. Because if you go back and listen to all those Motown records that James Jameson played on, and then the Beatles stuff post, like from Rubber Soul on, it's all of that. Like, listen to Paul's bass on the verses, how busy it is and appropriate, but then how simple it is on the chorus.
Yeah, usually it's the opposite. Usually you kind of lay back and allow the vocalists kind of to shine, and then you kind of do the fills. I was like, yeah, that's cool. I like that.
And Duran Duran, same thing. Like, I love going back and listening to those fills just on the verses. Like, it's so much going on. It's like
layers. He's a good player.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's underrated in my mind. That guy can play. It's funky.
Agreed. Yep.
All right. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth, and it's Word of God Wednesday today. We're breaking open God's Word for this Sunday, a very special Sunday. It's All Souls Day, this day, which this year falls on a Sunday. So we'll be commemorating All Souls, and you'll see the priests and deacons wearing purple or black. I think it, or let me see, yeah, purple and or black or white, actually. It could be wearing any one of those three colored vestments for this Sunday. So grab your Bibles and break it open. God's Word on Word of God Wednesday, All Souls Edition. We'd love to hear from you, of course. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Of course, as we pray the Holy Rosary throughout the month of October, we are continuing in that devotion. And as you pray with us, you can do that on a regular basis as EWTN brings that to you twice a day, 5:30 in the morning and at 9:30 at night, so you have a way to start and end your day in prayer. And you can find out more about beads and bracelets and things of that nature when you go to our religious catalog, EWTNRC.com.
All right, my friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalms on this segment of Beacon of Truth. And this is where we take one of the Psalms from the Old Testament, from the wisdom literature, and we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience, because we hear the Psalms in every Mass. We pray the Liturgy of the Hours. And this is the Psalms were meant to be sung, right? It comes from the heart, the book of sung praises to our Lord. We're continuing our look at a fairly lengthy psalm, Psalm 106, which is the last psalm in Book 4 of the Psalms. And so we're going to take a look at verses 32 to 37. Now, like I said, many books in book four don't have a prescript or a superscript. So it doesn't tell us who wrote the psalm. It doesn't give us any musical instruction. There's no kind of opening, context for this particular psalm. But this one just starts off, hallelujah, right? Hallelujah, praise God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Right? So the word there, hesed, means mercy or merciful love. So sometimes it's translated as mercy, sometimes it's translated as love, but really, hesed is the sense of merciful love. All right? So let's jump over to verse 32 here. And part of what this psalm does, it goes walking through the story of salvation history. And so this recalls the while they're wandering in the desert in Egypt, the Mount Sinai, the defiance at Mount Sinai, building the golden calf and all of that, and at Meribah and Massah, where again they defied the Lord. So this is kind of tracing the history of the Israelites. And it's same thing as us. We have peaks and valleys in our lives. We feel close to the Lord, and we commit sin. We move ourselves away from the Lord. And so it's this back and forth, back and forth. So now we get to verse 32. So it says, they failed to destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded them. Instead, they mingled with the nations and learned to act as they did. All right. So remember, when they were supposed to cross over into the promised land, right, from Egypt, across the Jordan into the promised land, they had sent some spies, right, to do some reconnaissance in the land. And so they came back, and there was kind of a mixed review. They said, well, the land is flowing with milk and honey. Look, we brought back some of the fruits of the land. It's abundant, but they have a lot of people. They have a fortified city. Some of these people were like giants, and so there was mixed reviews. Some people were like, nah, let's not go over there. These people are going to crush us. And God was telling them, no, go over there. Don't worry. I will fight for you. I've got this under control. And they were like, no, we're not going to do this. And one of the things the Lord asked them to do was when they went into the land, was to rid the land of those people and things that would take them away from their worship of God. But the people, again, did not follow what God had asked them to do. And so what happened? They started mingling with the people, right? And they started to, it says they learned to act as they did. And so what happens? Just like us in the culture, we grow up in the faith, we grow up in the church, then we go off to college, or we get a job, or we go into the military service, whatever it is, trade school. We leave home, we get into the world, and somehow we forget all the things that were foundational to us growing up. And that, again, not pointing fingers and blaming parents, but so many young people have not truly assimilated and made own their faith in Jesus, because they haven't really developed a deep, intimate relationship with him. They learn things about Jesus. They go and to youth group and those kinds of things, and they have all these fun events and stuff, but really they've been catechized but not evangelized. They learn about Jesus, but they don't really come to know Jesus deeply, personally, and intimately. And when you don't have a relationship with someone like that, you fall into the arms of anybody else who will take you. And who is that for us? It's the culture. It's the culture. And the same thing that's happening to us today, moving us away from our faith into this culture, the same thing is happening here to the people of Israel. And so it goes on. They also serve their idols, and these became a snare to entrap them. So again, look at the idols of the culture: money, fame, power, authority, acceptance, Right. Well, yeah, I know the church teaches this, but so many of my friends, so many people I work with, you know, they believe something different. And I don't want to stand out. You know, I don't want to be the one that everybody makes fun of. I don't want to be the one that, you know, go, oh, he's that. I don't want to get labeled. Oh, he's that really Christian, faith-filled guy, you know, and they laugh and mock me. I don't want that. Hold on. Hold on. Look what happened to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On his way to Calvary, he was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was spat on, he was slapped, he was beaten, kicked, punched, tortured as he made his way to the cross. See? So we cannot be afraid. Yes, I mean, and you're going to take some hits. When you truly live your faith in Jesus in a culture that's antithetical to faith, in a culture that maligns and disrespects people that believe in Jesus, they won't do it to other faiths, you know, the Muslims or Buddhists or Hindus, but they'll do it to Jesus, you know, and we need to stand up for our faith. And yes, you're going to take some hits. It comes with the territory. Get used to it. You know, Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. And the same thing that happened to him is going to happen to us. But we cannot think or act like the culture if we truly want to foster a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, and I think we probably all heard it said at some point in our lives is I'd rather be in line with God than in line with the world. So if it means that I'm going to take some hits from people that maybe I do like or respect for their success or maybe their family status or whatever, but again, it's the heart of who we are with Christ in us that makes it worth enduring, right? Like the circles, I know that sometimes God will remove us from circles of people because he's there in the conversations when we're not. So when they're ridiculing us to our face or we know or think that they may be influencing us in a negative way, again, it's better to be stronger in our faith and stand for him than to stand with the world.
Yeah, and I can see how that could be difficult for people because we live in as human beings, we want to be accepted.
Sure.
Right? We want to be part of a community. And we don't want to be seen as a pariah, as an outcast, as someone that, you know, someone points the finger at, you know, someone that's not included in conversation. I'm at a point in my life, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I don't care what people are saying about me, as if their comments are going to change me. Mm-hmm. Well, Deacon's pretty strong in his message. Yeah, I am. And I'm not watering it down or changing my style of speech. I don't like the way he speaks because he's too loud. Or he's okay, then get somebody else. Right. You know, if you don't like me, that's fine. Find someone else that's more of a talking head, someone that's more of a lecturer, someone that's more, you know, heady. You know, and uses big words. That's if that brings you closer to Jesus, amen. Go for it. You know, but don't criticize me as if your words are going to try to change. I ain't changing for you.
Right.
You know, I'm here because Jesus has a mission and a calling. You know, and I am faithful to that. And I'm just being who I am, who God created me to be. And so we can't become chameleons and change color based on what people think about us. We have to stand, like you said, we have to stand firm and strong in the Lord.
Yeah, and sometimes people like myself are coming from a place where we did it wrong for a long time. So we've tried it the way that other people say we're supposed to live. And it's always on the flip side that we go, this is where my peace is. This is where I know I'm called to. This is where I know God has always intended. And I was trying to swim upstream.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we should do. We should be swimming upstream like salmon, right, who fight against the current in order to give life, lay their eggs and give life. I love that. All right. Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth, All Souls Edition. This Sunday, we'll be celebrating the Solemnity of All Souls, which doesn't happen every year, but a very special occasion this year. So we remember all those who have died and gone before us. Of course, we'd love you to be part of the program. Send us an email today. Beacon@EWTN.com.
Love a good eighth note.
Oh, yeah. Love that bass line. Yep. See, in a song like this, I'm not even really listening to the guitar. You know, it's just
right.
But I hear that bass laying it down in the background, laying that foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it they say? The song may make you may be memorable, but it's the bass line that makes you dance.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right. I hear the fill. You know? Oh, that's awesome.
Which notes you going to play to the next one? All of them?
Yeah. That's so awesome, man. Love these bumper music, man. This is great. You know, and people have been commenting, even people here on Pilgrimage, you know, said, oh, man, I love when you Ace talk about music. You know, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, they're listening, obviously, for the content. We talk about the faith, but they love the fact that, you know, we're not always shy away from these things that we love. Again, as a vehicle to bring people to listen to the deeper content, you know?
Yeah.
And if you want a universal language.
Yeah, and if you want to know us better, just listen to the music.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Then it's like it's all DNA related.
Oh, that's so true. It's in your blood.
That's it.
Love that. I'm Deacon Harold Brooke Sivers, and you're listening to Beacon of Truth. And today it's Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word for a special edition of this Sunday, All Souls Day. We're commemorating those who have died and gone before us, as the priest says in one of the Eucharistic prayers, gone before us, marked with the sign of faith. And, of course, would love to hear from you today as we pray, prepare to pray for our loved ones who are deceased in a very special way this Sunday. Send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com.
Of course, I invite you to join me as we look at Podcast Central, other great conversations about your Catholic faith. It's Catholics Coast to Coast. I get a chance to spotlight some of these great programs and conversations Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Sunday, 6 p.m. And, of course, you can find it at Podcast Central so you can catch up or find your favorites. Of course, Beacon of Truth playlist is on there as well. But when you get some time, check us out this weekend with Catholics Coast to Coast on EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends. Word of God Wednesday, breaking open God's Word for a very special edition of Word of God Wednesday, All Souls edition, as we celebrate and commemorate the Feast of All Souls this Sunday. Doesn't happen every year, but this year, November 2nd, happens to fall on a Sunday, so it's the commemoration of all the faithful departed. So some people say, what's the difference between All Saints and All Souls? So All Saints, remember all of those who are in heaven with God, right? So those are the saints, not just the canonized saints, but all those who are in heaven, because everyone in heaven is a saint, right? And so we remember all the saints, and obviously in a very special way, those who have been canonized and recognized officially by the church as being in heaven, because that's what canonization and sainthood means on earth, is the recognition that the person who has died has lived an extraordinary life of holiness, extraordinary life of grace, and that we know that they are with God in heaven. But also all of those who will never be canonized, right, who are with God, they are also saints, so we commemorate them. But today, not today, but Sunday, obviously on All Souls, we're going to commemorate all of the faithful departed, which includes all those who are in purgatory, awaiting life with God forever in heaven. And so that's what we're commemorating this Sunday. So because it's All Souls Day, you know, there's no year A, B, C, right? There's not, like Matthew is A, Mark is B, and Luke is C. For special days like this, the readings are specific to the particular feast. So the first reading is from the Book of Wisdom. Right, one of the by the Solomon, one of the books of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, called the Nebe'im, which is called the writings in the Hebrew. So, and I love this book of wisdom here. You know, the souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. See, I love this. The beauty of the hope of being with God forever in heaven. And I love this. They seemed, in the view of the foolish, to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. but they are in peace. See, I love that. And so, because why? There were the Sadducees who believed that there was no resurrection, that there was no life after death, you know, as opposed to the Pharisees who did believe in an afterlife. And so the Book of Wisdom here is beautiful. Now, this is one of the books that was not included in the original Jewish canon. You know, they had 24 books, and Judith, Tobit, Wisdom, this book that we're looking at now, Sirach, Baruch, 1 and 2 Maccabees, and parts of the Book of Daniel, parts of the Book of Ezra were not included because they were originally not written in Hebrew, but they were written by the diaspora Jews who were outside of Israel who wrote these books in Greek, you know, and so that's why they were not included as part of the canon. So they're missing these books, these incredibly beautiful books. As we can see here, you know, people thought that they were dead. And this reminds me of, for example, when Jesus raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead. The parents said, "She's dead, she's dead." And Jesus said, "No, she's asleep." See, because for Jesus, death is sleep. Because when we awake from that sleep, hopefully we'll be seeing the face of God. You know, I just love that, you know. So, honestly, I hope that this reading is in my mind as I'm dying. You know, Deacon, you're going to sleep. You know, this is the end. This is the end of your earthly life. You're going to sleep. You're dying. But when you wake up, you know, you will be hopefully with God forever. I may probably have to spend a little time in purgatory. That's okay. Mother Angelica once said when she gets to purgatory, she's going to be dancing a jig because she knows she's going to make it to heaven. so that's okay. But again, it says people thought, oh, they're dead. This, you know, the life is over. But it says they are in peace. For if before men, indeed, they are punished, yet in their hope, they are full. Their hope is full of immortality. Right? I love that. Why? Because we're going to be with God forever. So death is just a transition from this world into the world of eternity with God. You know, so it's so ultimately death is not something to be feared, but something to be anticipated, because that's the way we come to life with God. I love that. And then again, little reference, I believe, here to purgatory. As gold in the furnace, he proved them. As a sacrificial offering, he took them to himself. So what do you mean gold in the furnace, he proved them? So when you take a precious metal like gold or silver out of the ground, it's mixed with dirt and minerals and all those other things that you don't want in that precious metal. So what they do is they heat it up. And when they heat it up, it separates what's called slag. It separates all of the dirt deposits and mineral deposits that are not part of that precious metal, and it separates them. You can skim the slag off the top, and then you're left with just the pure gold or the pure silver or whatever precious metal that you're mining. That's the way that it works. And so here it says God proved them in the furnace. So purgatory is like the proving in the furnace. You know, you get heated up and you remove all those things, all that slag from our lives, you know, concupiscence, that desire to choose those things which are not of God. Those things are removed because, as the Book of Revelation says, nothing impure can enter heaven, right? So we remove all of that slag. And so we are pure as we present ourselves before God, you know, for judgment. So I love how wisdom kind of refers to that. I love that. It says, because grace and mercy are with the holy ones, his care is with the elect. Right? I just love that beautiful reference. And this, again, readings like this one in the Book of Wisdom give me hope. Right? Give me hope in the beauty and truth of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and for those, again, who have died and that we are praying for, and we'll be praying for in a very special way this Sunday. And the psalm is obviously the famous Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. right? Though I walk in the valley of darkness, no evil will I fear, because you are with me. Your crook and your staff will give me comfort, right? So again, God walks with us on our journey through this life. He walks with us through our suffering. He's with us the entire time, so we don't suffer alone, right? Jesus suffered and died on the cross, and his mother and the other Mary, Marys were there, Mary Magdalene, Mary wife of Clopas, and of course John, they were there with him, and Jesus is with us in our moments of suffering as well. The good shepherd leading his sheep where? To eternal life with him forever in heaven. You know, and then the second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. You know, we who have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in newness of life, right? So our new life will be with God forever in heaven. And then, of course, we get to the gospel, which is from John chapter 6. This is right before Jesus begins his discourse on the Eucharist, you know, the bread of life discourse, as it's called. So this is right before that. He says, Jesus said to the crowds, everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, right? Because I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. I quote from this verse of John 6 all the time in my talk on authentic truth and freedom, when I juxtapose freedom and truth in the culture versus freedom and truth in our faith. You know, I quote this all the time because when Jesus says, I've not come to do my own will, authentic freedom is rooted in the obedience of faith. Right? It's listening to the voice of God and allowing that voice to change our lives. So that's what Jesus is saying. I've not come. So follow my example. I came to do the Father's will, not my own will. And this is the will of one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me. So God sent his son in order to preach the word of truth to the people so that the people could have life with God forever. And he says, I shall raise it on the last day, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Right? Man, that is our hope, because that is the words that come from God himself. Everyone who believes in Jesus and comes to him and dies in his graces will be raised on the last day. And that's why we have to be fearless to preach the beauty and truth of our faith to others, because we want to give everybody, because God left work for us to do. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, but he sent the Holy Spirit, breathed life into the church and to all of us at our baptism, strengthened in confirmation, nourished by the Eucharist, to be those messengers of the evangelizing witness and message of the gospel to the world. So we have to be fearless and bold and courageous and loving in the way that we present the faith today, so that as many people as possible will come to know and to love Jesus and bring him into the fullness of life with him forever in heaven. You know, last month when I was on a speaking tour with my Australian friends who were on the show last month, Charbel Raish, Kevin Bailey, and Dr. Robert Haddad, you know, we did our speaking tour of Texas. And you know, I think one thing that I don't think that I mentioned when they were on the show, that none of us are being paid for that speaking tour. So it's not like we were asking for free will offerings only to offset the cost of the tour, you know, our travel expenses thing, but none of us received a salary. He said, wait a minute, why would these guys fly 6,000, or actually over 6,000 miles, because they flew from Sydney to Dallas. Usually when I fly, it's 15 hours from Sydney to Los Angeles, and they had to fly an additional 3 hours to get to Dallas. So like 18 hours on a plane. Why would they fly almost an entire day from Australia to Dallas to speak for 11 days in Texas for no money? Why would they do that? Again, for us, it's not about the money. It's about sharing the truth of our faith and love. It's about witnessing the power of hope in this Jubilee year of hope. It's about showing the universality of the church, having the best speakers and Catholic speakers in Australia come to the United States to share their experience, to share their story, to share their journey, to share how God has moved in their lives, to share how God has impacted the lives of people all over the world, and to give inspiration to all of us. And God will, will he'll make sure our families are taken care of. I don't worry about the money and those kinds of things, because if we do the right thing, if we stay faithful to God, and God has shown me this over and over and over and over again, if we're faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. And the same thing is true in our lives. If we are faithful to him by the way we live, he will be faithful to us after we die and bring us to himself. As Jesus said, the Father entrusted these souls to me, and my job is to bring them to the truth so that they can come to me and I can lead them home to their heavenly home, their real home, their true home, life with God forever. And so on All Souls, we commemorate all of those, our family, our friends, our loved ones who have died, and we pray for the repose of their souls. And we hope that when we die, that people will be praying for us as well. All right. It's Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word for a special edition, All Souls Day, this Sunday. Of course, we'd love for you to be part of the program. Send us an email today, beacon@ewtn.com. The Marvel comic book movies depict ordinary people with extraordinary gifts and abilities. And even though, of course, that's just, it's not real, it's just a fantasy, we're sometimes a bit jealous of what they can do. I remember as a kid, like, oh, I'm going to be Superman, or I'm going to be like the Flash, or I'm going to be, the Thing or whatever. And I used to pretend to have superpowers and things like that. Well, saints, for us as people of faith, are real life superheroes, right? Not just because of what they did, but because of who they are, right? We want to be like them. It's like Saint Therese of Lisieux, or Saint John Paul II, or Saint Teresa of Calcutta, or Padre Pio, or Carlo Acutis, Pier Giorgio Frassati, and many others. Or the one of the latest saints that I was here for in Rome for their canonization, Saint Peter Torot, the first saint from Papua New Guinea. They're inspirations and models for us of how we can become closer to Jesus.
Yeah, and the thing I love too as I've gotten older is understanding the flaws of the saints or the disciples, like understanding what was it about them that made them not perfect. Because again, we oftentimes can see it, because I know that's kind of how I was raised, of that any character in the Bible, that's what you aspire to. Well, in a way, yes, because the way that they pursued after God as they learned their life lessons, just like we're learning ours, that's also a legacy that we can tap into. While they may not necessarily be family, they are our holy family. So in that, we learn from their flaws. We learn from their moments where they really connected with God. And I love it when I'm praying, like if I know like how God worked in David's life, or how he worked in Moses and giving him the ability to speak even though he had a stutter, like all of those things, we understand that he uses even when we don't feel equipped, we are called, and then he equips us because all we did was said, yes, I'm following you, God. So I love when we can understand the good and the bad of someone so that we understand how they rose above because of God.
Yeah, and we gotta remember, all saints are sinners, right? I
Right.
mean, with the exception of Mary, right? I mean, everyone else was a sinner in need of God's mercy and in need of God's grace. But the way they overcame temptation to sin was an extraordinary way, extraordinary lives of holiness. And again, you're right; they could serve as models for us. In our journey of faith on earth. And their blemishes and their mistakes, and some are very open about it. And when they write in their biographies or in their journals and their writings, but look at Saint Augustine. My goodness, man, he had a child out of wedlock. You know, he was living completely away from the faith. He grew up in, like his mother Monica grew up in the faith, and like so many young people today, fell away from the church and then came back. And you know, again, see, Sir Augustine, one of the greatest saints, one of the greatest thinkers, theologians in the history of the church, you know, was a sinner and needed God's mercy, and he writes all about it in his Confessions. You know, and so you're right. I mean, yes, these, yes, in a sense, they're superheroes. But they're superheroes in the way that they overcame their struggles with the, and some people struggle their whole life, and many of us will struggle our whole life with temptations and pride and those kinds of things. But it's about what we do to overcome those. You know, we align our will and with the mind and the heart of God, just like the saints did. They inspire us to choose the good over the evil.
Yeah, and let's also remember Superman, you know, he has his kryptonite. So
That's right.
we have ours as well.
That's right. Yeah, all those superheroes had some kind of weakness, you know, to show that even though they were superheroes, that they still, you know, there was still something there that could overpower them, you know. And that's really important to remember. You know, so today, as we prepare to celebrate the Feast of All Souls, we celebrate the everyday, you know, unofficial saints who have died, including those who are still being perfected in purgatory. The slag is still being scraped off the top of those precious souls that will spend eternity with God. You know, so often, you know, we'll have non-Catholics say to us, "Well, why do you guys pray for the dead? You know, they're dead. That's necromancy." You know, necromancy is praying to the dead, you know, who are just dead dead. I mean, you know, that kind of thing, like they're like praying to a dead body or something like that. You know, just pray straight to God. You know, and the way I respond, I said, "Look, if someone that you loved were sick, would you ask me to pray for them?" And they said, "Well, of course I would." Well, I said, and I respond the same way they just did to me. I said, "Well, why don't you just pray straight to God? Don't ask me for your prayers. You know, just go straight to God." You know, I said, "Look, those in heaven are closer to God than when we are. I mean, isn't your goal to get to heaven? Yes. And don't you have to die in order to get there? Yes. So you're going to be dead, right? Yeah, but they can't hear you, you know, because they're dead. No, they're more alive than we are because they're in the presence of God, right? And Jesus said, "I'm not the God of the dead. I'm the God of the living." Right? So those who are in heaven are alive in God, alive in his presence. And who says that we can't hear them, that they can't hear our prayers? Who said that? You know, you're just assuming. No. All things are possible with God. You know, they are where we all hope to be one day. Because what? This is not our home. You know, we're pilgrims on a journey. And so, yes, and so we have the church here on earth, we have the church militant. We have the church that's in purgatory, the church suffering, and we have the church triumphant, which are those who are with God in heaven. So, and the reality is that we're not praying to the saints, but through the saints to Jesus, invoking their powerful intercession, because we are supposed to pray for each other. And that happens at every level of our existence, you know, and because we're all part of the family. We're all part of the same family, just in different places. You know, so I know the concept is hard to accept today because of atheism and moral relativism and individualism, which ultimately fails because it can't answer the most basic question, which is what? Why? Why are we here? Why do we exist? Okay, you can argue over Big Bang and anthropic principle of a fine-tuned universe, fine-tuning theory. Entropy, you can argue all the science you want, that's fine, but that still doesn't answer the question, why? Why are we here? Right? So our answer lies in the hope from the Book of Wisdom, which I read at the beginning. They seemed, in the view of the foolish, the atheist, the agnostics, the individualist, the Epicurean way of thinking, in the view of the foolish, they seem to be dead. And their passing away was thought an affliction, because they were going forth from us, and then see the other destruction. But the truth is, they are at peace. So, my friends, we've been baptized into Christ's death. We share in his cross, And we rejoice in the knowledge as we carry our cross with fidelity and love. We will rise with him to new life because Jesus is the God of the living, right? So awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting podcastcentraletwtn.com/radio. And next time, we'll continue our series, For Your Marriage, different ways of building up the power of your married life. We're going to talk about honesty. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. And I'll be praying for you and your loved ones, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.